What's up, guys? This is Scott from Iron Legion. This is episode 219 of Strong the Iron Will Way, official podcast of the Iron Legion Strength Company. Rules. Rules are a thing we generally, I don't know, I think our first reaction to hearing the word rules is to resist, right? We don't love rules. We feel like rules are put in place to confine us, to restrict us. And in some cases, I'm sure that is the case. But I'm talking about here rules in the general term. We could even call them guidelines. But I think calling them rules versus guidelines has a small, subtle, yet very important difference, especially when it comes to the things that we are discussing here. So the reason I'm mentioning this today, I thought it was worth talking about, is I see a lot of people struggle in the nutrition aspect of this thing. Now, let's clarify once again how important the nutrition part is. If you are looking for composition change, in other words, to add muscle and lose fat, which is what 99.9% of people working out are trying to do, whether they're aware of it or not. You're looking for weight loss, you're basically looking for body composition change. You want to get stronger, you're looking for body composition change because you're going to need to add muscle, and losing fat would usually be beneficial. Maybe not always, but for the most part, if your body's not changing the way you want it to and you're training properly, it's nutrition, period, end of story. So, without making this a nutrition podcast, let's talk about why a lot of people have trouble with this. And if you look at any of you guys that have kids, you can relate. If you've ever tried to explain something to a child, they ask you why constantly. And they constantly want to push the boundary. And you learn very quickly why there has to be black and white rules, okay? You learn very quickly why sports have black and white rules. So let's give an example. What if we were playing, when we were kids, we used to play stick ball. So you'd basically take like a broomstick and a tennis ball, go up to a school or somewhere with asphalt, and you'd play baseball with the tennis ball and the stick. So you could play stick ball with like two people if you had to. So let's say I'm batting, I'm standing in front of a brick wall, so that's my catcher. And the pitcher's out there, he's going to probably throw it to me in a bounce or maybe throw it to me full speed depending on how old we are, how good we are. And maybe he's actually kind of the only, it's me and him. He's playing outfield, let's say, but he's got a pitch, so he's going to throw it in, it's going to bounce, I'm going to hit it. So because he's not able to play like with traditional baseball, he's going to try to, you know, have eight people out there besides the catcher catching balls, pitching balls. It was one guy, so he can only play one position. So you make rules. You say, okay, if the ball goes over this line, it's a home run. If it lands here, it's a triple. If it lands here, it's a double. But you have to be very clear about where the home run is, because if you say, if it goes over there, it's a home run. Well, then you hit one over there, and you proceed to argue about, well, what constitutes over there? That ball's over there. Oh, no, but it's got to be over here. Well, what does that mean, right? So this is a fairly absurd example, but what it means is you got to draw a fucking line in the sand, as they say, and if the ball goes over this line, it's a home run. If it doesn't go over this line, it's not a home run, it's a triple. Now, any of you guys that have played games like this or watched football or sports like this, hockey, anything, the goal, you'll understand even that becomes controversial because it's like, okay, what if it hits the line? Is that a home run or not? Okay, what if it hits the line and the other side? What if it lands directly on the line? What if it lands on the infield side of the line and the line? So you have to, you know, in sports, you have to make up rules for all of these circumstances, okay? Training and nutrition is no different. We have to have rules, and in fact, everything is that way. Imagine if your boss told you to come to work sometime in the morning. right? There's a reason most companies have a certain time. Be there at 8, be there at 9. When you have a kid, back to the kid example, you say, okay, we're going to go to bed at 8:30. All right, at 8:25, they say, can I have 10 more minutes? Well, that makes it 8:35. Yeah, but it's only 5 minutes. Okay, if you say okay, you're done, right? Oh, well, what about 8:40? It's only 5 more minutes. And this could go on forever, right? So if we look at training and nutrition, you've all heard of diets and things of that nature that would say, all right, on our plan, don't eat after 8. Don't eat after 7. Don't eat after 6, right? Well, why is that, right? Does that mean anything? Now, most people that I've read or spoken with about nutrition do not believe there is any downside to eating past 6 or 7 or 8. It's ultimately total calories consumed. But many of these books and guidelines have something like that. So why is that? Now, for the most part, a lot of these books and things that get published, there's a lot of nonsense in them, but there's always going to be some degree of truth to them, because otherwise they wouldn't make it so far as to have a book in the bookstore, really. There's got to be somebody benefited from these things. They've worked for some people. Well, part of the reason that 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock rule works is it just stops you from eating at a certain point and will ultimately limit your calories. Is there a magic to 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, or 8 o'clock? Probably not. But the authors had to decide at some place, stop fucking eating, right? So they picked a number. And they probably tried to pick a number that was somewhat fall into place with a person's daily life, right? So they're not going to tell you to stop eating after 3. But somewhere between 6, 7, and 8 makes sense, limits the calories, boom, there you go. So we have a similar thing with repetition ranges or percentages in training, but let's do it with reps. That's easier to understand. So we might say that we want to shoot for 10 reps on a given exercise. Okay, well, is 10 reps really the magic number? I mean, what if we did 9? So what if let's just be facetious here. What if our protocol called for 5 sets of 10 on all these exercises for 5 years? And you went and did 5 sets of 9 on all these exercises for 5 years. And somebody else went and did 5 sets of 11 for 5 years. Would it matter? Probably not. Okay? But 10 was put there for a reason. We can't start to say, well, what about 9? What about 8? What about 7? Right? Somewhere, it will lose its effectiveness. Now, in things like this, especially with percentage-based strength training, this stuff has been researched by people way smarter than me for much longer than I have even been studying this sport activity, whatever you want to call it. This has been researched inside and out. We got high-level Olympic athletes and their coaches trying to figure this out so their country can win gold medals. So this has been going on for a long time. So there's some real science and some real brain power behind determining optimal reps, sets, percentages to use. But without fail, and myself included, everyone will challenge those numbers and want to know, why is it 8 and not 10? Why is it 7 and not 5? Why is it 5 and not 3? These things have been studied and decided, but again, there has to be a number put to the rule so that we have something to follow. If we just keep rounding and moving those numbers around, they don't work, okay? But no one can explain exactly what happens if you do 4 reps instead of 5. But the point is, 5 was decided for a reason, and human beings respond much better to clear directives than saying, hey, do a bunch of sets somewhere with a moderately heavy weight. You know, what does that mean? But I think this applies even more, you can understand it even more with nutrition, right? Because nutrition is where we tend to listen. If we say, hey, do 5 reps, we'll do 5 reps. But if we say, don't eat too many carbs, what does that mean? Watch your fat. Oh, what does that mean? right? This is where we really get into trouble, because in the food area is where we really want to push those boundaries, whether that's conscious or subconscious. We kind of want to, you know. He said I could have carbs as he eats a box of Cheez-Its, right? He said I could have fat as he eats 2 tablespoons of peanut butter in one bite. So we need to have clear rules in terms of this is how much of this you can eat, and it's got to be measured. This, and let's just make up stuff. This is what time you need to begin eating. This is what, how many meals you need to eat a day. This is when you need to stop eating. And again, if I calculated out your food and your macros and your calories all the same and split it over 4 meals or 5 meals, it wouldn't matter, okay? Probably in the long term. But if your coach or your plan calls for 4 meals a day or 5 meals a day or 6 meals a day or 2 meals a day, just stick with that number, because that number is there for a reason. And above all, it's about discipline. Okay, being successful at any of these endeavors is about discipline. And discipline without rules and without specific guidelines is impossible to achieve or measure, because you don't know if you're doing it. You don't know if you're nailing it. So when you're nailing your program, whatever that is, it feels good and it builds confidence because you are being successful on a daily basis. So even if you're not, you're not going to see the results on a daily basis, but you can know that you hit your targets on a daily basis, which will ultimately lead to being successful. This translates into everything. So let's say you decide that you're trying to work on something, a special project. Again, whether you want to start a business or learn a new craft or a new trade, or ultimately change jobs in 5 years, so you want to start working on, you know, an extra degree, and you decide, all right, I'm going to start getting up early before work to work on this project or this degree. Well, you get up normally at 6:30, so you decide, I'm going to start getting up earlier so I can work on my project, but you don't really decide what time that's going to be. So you set your alarm for 5, it goes off at 5, you're fucking exhausted, and you're like, oh, dude, this is not cool. So you hit snooze, now it's 5:15, you're like, all right, it's still earlier, I'll do another snooze, it's 5:30. Anyway, you get where I'm going with this, right? All of a sudden, you got up 20 minutes early and you got nothing done. You can't just say, I'm going to get up early and work on my project. You have to clearly define, I'm going to get up at 5, 4 days a week, and work for my project on an hour and a half, for an hour and a half before I have to start getting ready for work. And then you actually have to stick to the 5. You know, okay, well, what if I did 5:05? What if I did 5:10? Yeah, sure, great. Okay, where does that stop, right? How much time do you need every morning to work on your project? I don't fucking know, right? But I can tell you what, you're not going to get there by shaving off 5 minutes of it every fucking day. Because I would go so far as to say part of the reason what's going to make you successful at this project or anything else is teaching your subconscious the discipline to get up at 5 when you said you would. Get up at 5:30 if that's when you said you would. Get up at 4:30 if that's what you said. But whatever it is, you decide, you have to stick to it, which is why you have to stick to a clear number. You have to know, what are the number of reps I'm doing today? Now, if there's a what we call an AMRAP, right, as many reps as possible, that's a different story, right? So you might have to do 3 sets of 4 and then an AMRAP. So that's very clear. Go in, put the desired weight on, hit sets of 4, and then for your last one, do as many as you can. Perfect. But generally speaking, there's going to be guidelines that need to follow. Okay, if it says between 8 and 10, do between 8 and 10. That means 8, 9, or 10. With your food, if there is a certain amount for your macros, so if it says eat this many grams of protein at each meal, figure out what that is and eat that many grams of protein at each meal. Don't try to negotiate like you're 7 and have 20 grams if it says 25, or have 15 if it says 20. Have the right number. If it says eat 200 grams of carbs a day, figure out that's 40 grams of carbs 5 times a day and eat that. or eat 100 grams twice a day if that's okay with your plan. But eat 200, don't eat 220, and don't eat 180. Because if we stick to these rules and guidelines clearly, then we can adjust. Okay, so let's say, for example, that something with your strength program isn't working out right. Something with your nutrition program isn't working out right. You're not getting this project done that you've been working on every morning before work. Well, okay, we know that you've been getting up at 5 o'clock on the button. You have your coffee. You're starting to work on it at 5:10. That gives you an hour and 20 minutes until 6:30, and it has not been helpful. We need more time. So now you know. All right, it's 4:30 from now on, right? Your nutrition program has not been successful, but because you've been accurate and diligent about your numbers, you know that you can up or down, adjust your carbs up or down, adjust your protein up or down, your fat, your calories, etc. So everything becomes much easier when we are clear and we have clearly defined rules. So I will finish by just saying, if you have trouble with any of these areas of life in general, take a look and see what kind of rules and guidelines you have given yourself, and are you sticking to them? And if you have given yourself too much wiggle room, be more clear with yourself about what you're doing. If you're having trouble with your eating, let me give you an example. We have something called the Awaken the Warrior Plan. It's basic, very basic guidelines on how to eat healthy to lose fat and build muscle. If you are not losing fat, you're not building muscle the ideal, you're not changing body comp, get a copy of that. You can email me for it, scott@ironlegionstrengthcompany.com. Message me. If you're at the gym, just ask for it. Somebody can grab you a hot copy. You can find one online. Follow the guide. Look at what you're eating every day. Write it down. Pull up the guidelines. Put that next to it. And evaluate how far are you from our guidelines. And I would be willing to bet you are very far from the guidelines. There's your answer. You do not have to keep asking questions and keep seeking out the solution. There's the answer. I need to adjust my eating till it matches the guidelines, period. Because what you'll find, and it works the other way too, I've seen people get started, be on point on the program perfectly for a month. After a month, we see the improvements start to taper off. I see the frustration start to build. So how are you doing on your diet? Oh, I'm still doing the program. Oh, good. All right, let's write it down. Let's take a look. Well, it's not really the program anymore, is it? It's, well, I stopped eating fruit at breakfast because I got tired of it, and I switched that out for X. I got lazy at lunch, so I started having this instead of that. So pretty soon, one step at a time, the program is not the program anymore. But each step away from the program at the time felt like not a big deal. Okay, what if I don't have fruit at one meal? I'm supposed to have fruit at every meal. What if I don't have fruit at one of them? Is that a big deal? I don't know. What if I don't have fruit at two of them? Yes, it is a big deal. The rules are have fruit at every fucking meal. Have vegetables at every meal. Whatever the rules are, those are the rules. Do not act like you're seven and challenge all of them. Because adjusting one of them, big picture, like, it won't affect the program. But yes, it'll affect the program. I hope that makes sense. It's very important to understand this concept, because if you are willing to bend on one little rule, all of a sudden none of the rules mean anything. Okay, and again, this is where it's so challenging with kids, because they'll push you and they'll ask you, well, why that one thing? Is that really going to matter? And in reality, that one thing actually wouldn't matter if it stopped at that one thing, but it doesn't, right? So that's what happens with us as adults. If you dropped the fruit or the vegetable from one meal of your warrior plan forever, but really stuck to it other than that, you'd be fine. But you won't do that, right? We know it's human nature. It's been proven. I've seen it over and over. We're going to drop it from a second meal. We're going to give ourselves we're going to cut the protein from another meal. We're going to, little by little, get off course, right? There's some crazy number with in sailing or in the nautical world, where if your dial is off by, you know, 1 degree, by the time you travel X amount of miles, you're like at a different fucking continent, right? And that's kind of a good analogy, where, you know, just a tiny little bit off course every day multiplies and magnifies over time to be a fucking mess. So yes, guys, I'm sorry, this is a bit of rambling today, but in summary, give yourself some rules, stick to the rules, don't try to keep adjusting the rules to suit your fucking whims, and if you have a plan with rules, just stick to those, because they're there for a reason. All right, peace out, guys.